Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. And this is radio program number 59 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight I have a very special guest with me in the studio. I have my wife, Romsey, with me. And we're going to talk a little bit about relationships and share a little bit of our testimony of how the Lord put us together. Romsey, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, it's a sweet treat. Thank you, Andrew.
So we're real excited about what the Lord is doing with all of us and our family included. It was quite a journey to leave our comfort zone as a family. And I know there's many families out there that are making decisions, big decisions for the near future, and some are relocating, some are just trying to get their family together. I believe this year, prophetically, is a year of restoration, and God is wanting to restore families. And I just really believe that the Lord wants to speak encouragement to people tonight on their relationship, whether it be in their home, their families, their children. Many children have walked away from the Lord, and I know many parents are praying for their children right now that they come back to the Lord. And so I just want to let this program just be a source of encouragement for a lot of people out there that need a word of encouragement right now in their homes, in their lives, in the direction. Maybe they're really seeking the Lord on directions of what they should do, where they should be, what they should be doing, maybe a transition in ministry and business. And the Lord has a direction for everybody, but you know, it says that He said if we delight ourselves in Him, He will give us the desires of our heart, and He wants to give us, lead our path and direct our steps, but we have to trust in Him with all of our heart and not lean on to our own understanding. So I know this is a challenging time for many people right now because they're really seeking the Lord's direction in their life right now. But the big key is not leaning to our own understanding. Sometimes our own understanding gets in our way. So anyway, I just want to share a little bit about maybe our testimony of how we got together. I was a wild sinner before I got saved. There was no question about I was not saved. Back in 1986, I always wanted a family, wanted to be married, have children, and I was looking for the right one, and the Lord began to show me that He said to me one time, I was beginning to wanted to know how would I find my bride or my wife, and He said, I'm spirit, and I won't lead your wife to you in the flesh. And I realized that I had to look for something beyond the outside package, even though I found a very beautiful package as well. But I was looking for someone who loved the Lord with all of her heart, and when I met Romsey, she was. We went to a Christian concert, and I went down to the front of the church where we were attending, and I was going to go minister to some people that had come for prayer. And I knelt down next to this one girl and put my hand on her shoulder, and I asked her if there's anything I could pray with her about. And she looked up with the tears running down her cheeks. She said, "No, I just came to comfort this other girl." And I thought to myself, "Wow, a good-looking girl with a heart, someone who has a passion for somebody that they actually could cry and weep with somebody going through whatever they're going through." And that was the way I met my wife. And this was is a wild story how it all God put it all together. But that's my sweet blessing that I got married to, is someone who had a heart so much that she was weeping with someone that she didn't even know whatever this woman was going through. And so I just want to why don't you share a little bit about you were looking for somebody too.
And you bet. I sure was. And something that I never wanted was somebody that was verbally abusive. And it just seemed to be that I would always wind up with men that were verbally abusive. And once I realized that that was because I walked in unforgiveness towards my father, I had to forgive him first before I could break that pattern. Mm. And once I forgave him, I met such an incredible, wonderful man of God that met my checklist. And if you had seen my checklist at age 18, I was so fed up of being hurt that I made this huge checklist that if you had looked at it, you'd say, honey, you're never going to get married because nobody can meet up to this high standard. It was things like I wanted to marry my best friend. I didn't want to fall in love with the idea of love, which was really actually lust. And I didn't want to be deceived by that. And in fact, I didn't even want to kiss the man that I was to marry until the pastor says, now you may kiss the man. And that to me was significant, but I knew it would be very difficult, that God would have to mold him into the man of God that I desired. But then again, am I the woman that would meet that high standard for that awesome man? So I had to allow the Lord to mold me as well. Mm-hmm. And I kept failing. I desired to please the Lord, but I kept failing. I just didn't have what it took to be strong for the Lord. I would just keep falling down. And it wasn't until I met my husband to be, before the Lord showed me, that he had said, boy, you have a passion for the things of God, but you're lacking the power. So he said, trust me and pray this prayer. And you led me in the sinner's prayer. And I'm thinking, I've done all this. Trust me, Ronzi, trust me. So you led me in the sinner's prayer. Then you took me a step further and got me filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that point, I could just look at sin and say, I don't want anything else to do with you. And I just grab it and throw it off to the side and say, I'm continuing to march forward for the things of God. And I asked the Lord one day, what took place? Why now? Things used to make me fall, but now I can look at it and say, you're not of my heavenly Father. I don't want anything to do with you. And I just take it and yank it and throw it off to the side. Why, God? What is the difference? And he said, because before, you had the Holy Spirit escorting you on the outside saying, hey, Ramsey, come over here. And yet Satan was on the other side escorting me too, saying, I've got a great party to go to and some really cool friends for you. And lo and behold, I'd usually follow that escort. And then when I received the Holy Spirit, he was no longer escorting me from the outside, but instead now he came inside of me to empower me from within. And I received the Holy Spirit to the gifts of tongues, and my life just radically changed, and I love it.
In fact, it was really interesting. When I was, you'd asked me something, or you'd mentioned to me that you had gone to the doctor and you had a gallstone the size of a golf ball, and the doctor said if you tried to pass this thing, of course, it would rupture the gallbladder, the duct, or whatever, and that it was going to need surgery. And the surgery was a long, massive knife job on the abdomen. And I said, that's not any big deal to God. God can heal that. And so I prayed for you and prayed over you and said, in Jesus' name, I curse that gallstone and command it to wither and die and wither up. And you went, and from that point on, what happened after that time that we prayed that night?
Well, prior to that prayer, if I just had one mouthful, one scoop, a spoon of anything with cream in it, I'd have a huge gallstone attack, which felt like a knife in the heart and out the other side and sharp pain down the arm and vomiting. And the moment that you prayed, I thought, now this was a year that I lived with this. And I ended up going out and testing it with a nice greasy chicken fried steak and fried okras and mashed potatoes tinned with gravy, which was what threw me into my first gallstone attack a year earlier. And so I passed that test and I thought, wow, God made us and he truly can fix us.
You got a real dose of the Holy Ghost because you hadn't really had any experience because the church that you'd gone to had never really introduced you to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this was all pretty new to you when you first, were introduced. In fact, I think the first time that we'd gone out together, I was going to go out to a Bible study. A friend of mine was a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, and he would go, and he had a Bible study at Valley Ranch where he lived. And it was really interesting that the night that I invited you to go to the Bible study with me,
there's nobody at the Bible study. It's a Thursday night Bible study. I'm looking, oh no, I wonder what she's thinking of me. I'm taking her someplace. There's nobody there. And so I went over the front door and they said, oh, they went to a service at the church where they went in Dallas. It was a church called Faith World, which later became Covenant Church there in Dallas. And so we get there and Reinhard Bonnke was there speaking that night. And we had to sit in an overflow room because there were so many people there at night. But that was one passionate speaker that night for the first time that you heard somebody, wow, this is pretty crazy. It's a pretty wild place here. But you got introduced pretty quickly to true evangelism and the Holy Spirit. In fact, I asked if you want to go out on the streets of Dallas. And actually, I had Janet Clark, which was Janet Abraham before she married Ray. When we first met, you became good friends with her, and she was on the previous program on program 58 last week. But we would go out on the streets of Dallas and go out there witnessing and passing out tracts. And so we were just like a little threesome out there on the streets. And it's just amazing how God has reunited us. And but that's just an amazing testimony how God is at work in all of our lives today. But really is amazing, though, is that many people out there right now are really hungering for the truth, and they're really hungering for the real presence of God in their life. And I just want to encourage you that the Lord is, He will feed the hungry. If you're hungering for the truth isn't always easy to receive, but if you really just want to know the truth, God will feed you. And this is what I think a lot of people are right now, is they're hungering for the presence of God in their life. And I just encourage you to find good worship music and just get a place where you can just be alone and just ask the Lord just to fill you with His presence and come and minister to you and heal the hurts and heal the wounds, because He's here to heal the brokenhearted if you're willing to receive whoever and whatever He wants to do in your life. He's here for you. And so I just want to encourage you out there that the Lord is here, and He's here to meet your needs. And sometimes your needs aren't what you realize, but He knows what your needs are right now. And so I'm excited that the Lord has done many things in my wife and I and my family. We have 8 children, and it's been a wild ride for the last 26 years or so. But you know, when you make a commitment, you know, marriages are made on commitments. They're not made on feelings, because sometimes the feelings aren't there. But it's just like our relationship with the Lord, is that we made a commitment to trust Him, to live for Him. Sometimes it doesn't feel real good when you're in the fire, but He's there for us, and He's always there. And we just have to remember that we are committed. We need to commit ourselves to Him just as much as He is to us. And that's the way it is a relationship with a marriage. The relationships are built on commitments and trust. And
you know, when I wrote that checklist of all those points that I wanted in a man, the first time that we'd get together, the Lord would just highlight one of them and say, "He is this quality." And the Lord just kept doing that over and over and over. And then shortly after we got married, within a couple of months, 9 months or so, I really felt such a chalkboard type effect of division come between us. And yet here, you're my prince, my knight in shining armor, my Mr. Perfect, Mr. Wonderful. And why am I feeling this chalkboard type effect between us? And I had to reason that and say, wait a minute, this is not our relationship. This is not a reflection of our love for each other and the reflection of the Father through us to each other. So what is it? And at that moment, I bound the enemy and said, I just curse this ugly, gravelly friction, chalkboard effect between us. I bind it up, whatever it is, division, strife, whatever it is, I bind it up. I curse its work to the very root, and I command it to be gone in Jesus' name. And immediately, like a flood, I felt that love and that admiration and that respect and that cherishing feeling that we have for each other be restored within a second.
You know, both of our desire was that we would marry our best friend. And, you know, relationships are built on trust, and trust is, has to be built on communicating. And one of the things that we did, you worked for the manager at a Marriott hotel restaurant, and I would kind of schedule my, I had a paint and body shop. Sometimes I do work late, and then we'd meet up maybe at midnight or whatever time your shift was over, and we'd go sit in a little Denny's type restaurant, and we'd sit and just talk and drink hot chocolate. And we'd just sit there and talk and share, you know, whatever was on our heart. And it was really interesting because our desire was to just be open and honest with each other. And it's interesting how the honesty that we would give each other and share things with each other. Maybe we start sharing. I would share something with you about myself, or you did something about your, say something about yourself to me. And I think, well, if she can trust me with that, I can trust her with this. And the honesty bred honesty that we became more and more open. And that's really how real relationships are built. They have to have a foundation of purity, of honesty. And one of the things that was kind of blew me away is when you said, I don't even want to kiss the man I'm going to marry until the pastor says, now you may kiss, you know, the bride. And I thought, wow, I didn't think there'd be another person on the planet to think that. Because I had got, when I got saved, and I gave my heart to the Lord, I said, I want to live my life for you. And I never read the Bible before. And so I'm starting to read the Bible, and I see these different words like fornicators won't inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm kind of thinking, am I one of those things? You know, what's that word mean? And I asked my pastor, and I said, what's the word fornication mean, anything? And he said, anything that leads to the act of sex. And I thought, well, that's everything. And so I decided I didn't want to kiss anybody. So it was 2.5 years that I'd been traveling with the Hunters as a photographer and traveling all over the world. I just was friends with girls, and that was all. And it was really interesting is that because of the preparation that God had done in my life, and as well as in yours, Ramsey, He was making us right for each other. And I see so many times people are waiting for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and they're not the right person for Mrs. Right or Mr. Right themselves, like you mentioned a minute ago. And so it's like, you know, you may be saying, well, I'm waiting on this person, Lord, for you to bring him to me. And He's saying, well, I got her ready. I'm waiting on you. You know, you're the one that's holding the thing up right now. You need to get some things right. And I mentioned, we talked about this last time on the program with Janet, but just about the way we treat each other. And you mentioned that, you know, you were verbally abused in your childhood, and it left some effects on you, that you didn't want that kind of person to be married to that kind of person. And I remember, you know, I'd never heard anything like this before, but Charles Hunter was speaking to me one time, and we were on a trip by ourselves, going to Sweden, I think, for an explosion there in Sweden, healing explosion. And we were sitting at the airport, and he was just talking about Frances and his relationship with her. And I'd never seen a man cherish his wife like this man. And, you know, any man that would carry his wife's purse is a real man, you know, loves his wife. And but we were sitting there at the airport, and we were just talking. He said, you know, I could never say anything mean or cruel to Frances. I go, really? He said, yeah. He said, you know, if I was to say something mean or cruel to her, if Jesus lives in Frances like He does in me, I might as well look up in the heavens and say, and that goes for you too. Because really, I just did it to her. And then I'm looking in Matthew later, and it says, you know, Lord, when did we visit you in prison? When did we do all these things? He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And literally, you know, when I heard that, I go, wow. Literally, the way we treat each other really is the way we're treating the Lord. And we don't think of it that way, but it really, if you want to guard your tongue, if you think about the person you're looking at as Jesus, it sure makes you treat people a little bit differently. And I've always remembered that. And again, the Lord was preparing me to be the man that you are desiring. And I was having to mold myself and allow the Lord to mold me to be that person. And this is what I believe the Lord wants to do with all of us right now, for whatever, and most of all because we're being prepared to be His bride. Do you think He wants to marry somebody that's going to treat Him the way we treat other people? And I mean, He doesn't believe in divorce, so this is like a one-time deal. This is a, you know, He's going to marry His bride that's without spot or wrinkle and has a pure heart toward Him. And this is what I believe He's revealing in us, is that He's exposing things in our life that maybe He doesn't want to be married to. And this is why our relationships that we have with each other, we can use that as a model of how we need to change some things, maybe. Maybe the way we treat each other, maybe we talk to each other, maybe we act to each other. We're supposed to be a servant to each other. And that's, again, the only relationship I've ever seen that probably is close to modeling a real relationship of a marriage was Charles and Frances Hunter to me. That they were tender to each other. They just loved each other. They're madly in love with each other. I'll tell you a funny story, though, of Charles Hunter. We were doing a healing explosion in Caracas, Venezuela. And Frances was staying behind because she was in surgery or something where she had to be in a doctor at a doctor. Or I don't remember what it was now, but she didn't get to come to Venezuela when we did. And we weren't even expecting her. Well, during the crusade, you know, with a bullfight arena filled with people, all of a sudden Frances comes through the far side, one of the doors where the bulls come through, I guess. And she's walking along the edge of this, and you can see a bunch of people, you know, gathered around her as she's walking. As soon as Charles sees her walking toward him, he hands the interpreter the microphone, runs down the steps onto the grass where, you know, the floor where she was sitting, ran an old, he was probably in his 70s, maybe in his 80s, running toward Frances and to embrace his beloved. And I thought, wow, what a neat example of someone who's truly in love with his bride. And I've just been so blessed to have that example. But I know you have something you're busting to say here. But I just know that Frances and Charles have been a great blessing to us. And we're always looking for, you know, to find an example. What's the model of a marriage supposed to look like? And there's not many out there, but the Lord's just saying, He wants us to be the model. Don't wait for somebody else. He wants us to be the model of what we're supposed to be like. Pretend we're married to Jesus, because really that's who we're married to in some ways. If the way we're treating each other is the way we're treating the Lord. Mm-hmm. And So I just know that God is purifying His bride right now, and He's exposing things in each one of our lives that's not like Him, because He wants to marry somebody like Him. And I believe He's coming back soon. I just know that things are changing so much in the world today that He's preparing. We're getting into the final stages, I believe, of the preparation of the bride. And He's looking for those who have a heart for Him. And He's blessing. I mean, I've seen what's happened to our lives in the last 2.5 years since we've been here. And we literally forsook all. And that was one of the toughest things, to go home after our little exploratory trip and go home to the kids and say, hey guys, guess what? We're moving to Panama. We didn't know what they were going to say.
Yeah, but they all cheered, didn't they?
Yeah, they were surprised us all.
That's right. And we all busted and moved within 2 months, and it was excellent teamwork. And that's what we have to look at as husband and wife. We are a team. We're one. And if one can send 1,000 to 10,000, isn't it no wonder Satan loves to divide husbands and wives? Because the damage we can do united becomes almost nothing when we're divided.
Yeah, this is key, divide and conquer. And we have to realize, you know, there's many marriages I know right now that are just going through some struggles right now. And you're feeling a lot of division going on in relationships and families, husbands and wives. And I just want to encourage you that this is the work of the enemy to divide right now, because this is a time when all of us need to be united together like never before, because the Lord has a work for all of us to do
And we have to be united to get this work done. We can't be divided. I believe that he's uniting the body of Christ, but he's uniting families too, because we are a powerful force to be reckoned with when we're united on one front with one focus and one goal. And that's been his operation since time zero. He just wants to divide us all, because he knows that we're easy prey when we're on our own.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a game plan of his for many, many, thousands of years. So, but it was a fresh attack that was heavier than I think anybody has ever come across. Back in August, the Lord warned me, and he said, Satan is coming out with a heavy onslaught of attacks towards marriages. And sure enough, we've seen it. We've seen it in the church horrifically. And so I just want to encourage every single one of you that you are a team, and that really, truly, God has excellent things in store when you unite. And the division, the strife, the heat that raises the junk up to the top that God wants to just scrape off, we should really rejoice in that. Because the more he can scrape off, the more junk that he can bring out in the open, the faster you can run and say, here it is, Lord, yuck, get it out of my life, the more we can be used.
That's right.
The anointing can flow and set other captives free. And many times at bottom line, it is a call for deliverance, that you need to be delivered of some past wounds, past situations in your life. And if it's depression, just label demon of depression, you know, anger, let's label it demon of anger. When we label these things truly what they are you going to give place to it? Are you going to want to buddy up to it when you truly realize who it is?
Yeah. You know, one of the things you shared, you know, you recognized who Satan was, you know, like the Lord just opened your eyes. That when we serve the enemy, we literally bow before him and worship him and serve him as our master. But when we serve the Lord, we're bowing before him. And this is something that we all have to realize, that we have to understand who the enemy is, and that if the Lord's our Lord, then we need to be serving him. And if we're serving anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, if those things are being given place in our lives, then we're giving place to the enemy in our life too. And this is the stuff that needs to come off now. God needs to purify us all. And humility is the only way that we'll release this. Pride will hold on to this stuff. Humility will, God will give us the grace to release these things. So we have just a few moments left, Ramsey, but thank you so much for joining us on Strength for the Journey. We're going to have to continue more and just share more of this. I believe marriages really need to be healed and delivered. And so thank you again. So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.